Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Sally Eady with us. Sally is a science and technology writer, author. Most recently, she was a features editor at New Science, where she wrote some of the most lasting content, including a 2012 feature that explained bioelectricity technology to the general public for the very first time. She is the science consultant for the television adaptation of Naomi Alderman's The Power at Amazon Studios and has won a U.S. National Press Club Award, a BT Information Security Award, and the Guild of Health Writers Award for her inside account of the Silicon Valley, a young blood clinic. And welcome to the show. Sally, your book is called We Are Electric, and it's fantastic. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How did you get interested in bioelectricity?
So it's a little bit of a long backstory. I used to work for a magazine called IEEE Spectrum. That's the magazine for the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers. And I was, as a sort of young reporter, I was on the semiconductor beat, which tends to be a slightly dry beat, I guess.
Yeah.
Except if you go pretty hard on microchips. But one of the things that was one of the opportunities that that afforded me was to start really looking at the new generation of neuromorphic chips that they were designing based on sort of how the brain works, and then also the signal processing that was involved in trying to integrate prosthetics into the nervous system. And that was so mind-blowing. It was so interesting to see that they could actually take, you know, that there was such a thing as bridging the gap between machine and, you know, mind. And so I started getting really obsessed with that interface, because I wasn't really sure what was happening. You know, how would, you know, electrical impulses delivered into the brain, how would that sort of control the brain? For example, with, you know, Parkinson's implants, or vice versa, how could reading brain signals and sort of decoding them drive, for example, a robotic arm, like in a lot of these studies where you see people who have had a spinal cord injury are able to operate either, you know, cursors on their screen with just their minds, or operate robot arms to pick up a grape. And so that's where sort of it came from. But then the whole thing got kind of supercharged when I found out about the U.S. military working on a project to accelerate learning by electrical stimulation. And so I did a big feature on that for New Scientist. And that was when I started to really get quite obsessed with this topic, because the mechanism was so mysterious. And so, you know, people had sort of their sort of explanation in a can, if you know what I mean, where it was like, well, neurons that fire together wire together, and if you put an electrical field on the brain, those neurons will wire together, and so you're going to learn marksmanship or mathematics faster. But I never understood what that meant, so that was 10 years ago, and I've fallen down the longest rabbit hole of my life trying to
I love it. Now, what is your definition of bioelectricity?
Right, that's a good question. So normally, when you think of electricity, you think of electrons arranged down a wire. That's what powers your dishwasher and everything. And the body also uses electrons for power. There's, you know, ATP and mitochondria and all this sort of intro bio stuff. But the communication signal, you know, the thing that underpins everything about your human experience, you know, your ability to think, to feel, to taste and see and act and move. So all of that is powered by ions and their movement. So ions are these positively charged little particles like sodium and calcium and potassium, and they are all infused in the fluid that makes up about, you know, two-thirds of you. You always hear that you're made of two-thirds of water. Well, it's kind of like seawater. It's all sort of full of these positively and negatively charged ions. And the neurons in your nervous system, in your brain, they have really strong opinions about these ions. And their strong opinions are, we like potassium, we don't like sodium, and they are able to actually, with the help of these things called ion channels, keep the sodium out and keep the potassium in. And this is the basis of the action potential that makes you able to move your arms and legs and, you know, walk and talk and think and feel like you're thirsty and then have a drink. And every single thing about your human experience is underpinned by that preference that neurons have for these two ions, because that's the basis of the action potential. And what happens is the ions that pass on the signal, the neurons are cells that are studded with these little pores, and the pores aren't like, they're not like a sieve, they're smart pores. And so that is what enables them to preferentially pull in potassium and keep out sodium. And this is when the neuron is in its happy place, it's called the resting potential. This separation of the neuron, of the ions, makes it so that the inside of a neuron is always about 70 millivolts more negatively charged than the extracellular fluid. And that makes it like a little capacitor. And when an action potential comes down, all those smart pores open at the same time. The, you know, sodium floods in, potassium floods out, everything goes to zero from minus 70. And that electrical impulse is the basis of the action potential that moves all, you know, your legs and arms and eyes and, you know, forms the basis of every thought that you're able to have.
How close to the kind of electricity that we all understand today is bioelectricity?
Well, it's not that similar because, you know, in our wiring, you've got sort of electrons doing the work. In our nervous signal, these ions come in, they flow in and out of the fluid that suffuses you is called a volume conductor. And so you don't have like the same speed. For example, the nervous impulse travels on average at about the speed of a race car, whereas electricity travels basically at the speed of light. So There are many differences. However, the communication signal in your body is profoundly electrical. Like, everybody knows about the sort of, you know, the electrochemical part, the chemical part of the electrochemical signal, which is the, you know, the serotonin at the synapses of the nerves, that of the nerve terminals that brings the signal across from one nerve to the next. But, you know, that wouldn't be able to happen without the sort of electrical part of the signal that happens thanks to these ion signal traveling.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Your book, We Are Electric, starts with a couple scientists from the 18th century, Alessandro Volta, where they got the word volts from, and Luigi Galvani, where they got the Galvani skin test response from. Why did they fight? What happened to those two?
So Galvani was the first person to have, you know, a clue that this sort of meandering explanation from before, the whole thing about, you know, the sort of that electrical signals are really instrumental in our ability to move and think and feel. He was the first person to really sort of elaborate on that explanation and try to really to say, you know, this long-standing mystery of how we are able to move our limbs and think and, you know, actuate our desires into movement and speech and everything. He's the first person to say, I think this is an electrical phenomenon. Before that, people for like 1500 years had debated how this happened, but they never got anywhere. You know, even Descartes, he thought that we had some kind of like hydraulic system that pumped some kind of fluid from our brain.
Yeah, none of them even thought about bioelectricity in those days, did they?
No, exactly. But so what's really interesting, though, is, you know, this was Galvani says it's electric, and Galvani was an anatomist, so he didn't have like a lot of standing to make claims about electricity at all. Volta was, you know, a physicist who at the time he was calling himself an electrician, which was had very different connotations back in those times. That was sort of like the equivalent of like a rocket scientist, because electricity was a really burgeoning new science at the time. People didn't really understand it. People were really coming to grips with what it was to begin with. Volta had a lot of, you know, cred at the time. And initially, Volta saw Galvani's papers and he thought, this is amazing. I stand behind this. And then he very quickly changed his mind and he said, like, no, this is absolutely untrue. And the fight that they got into was so enormous that it roped in all the scientists of Europe. Everybody had to choose sides.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild. I get into this more in the book. It's wild. It's like a Twitter fight today. Like people were just dunking on each other, except not in 140 characters.
A social media fight.
Totally. And so this was the original fight in which biology lost custody of electricity. Because back then, you know, when we're still, you know, in the 18th century, we've just gotten the first tools to start investigating this mysterious phenomenon that we've never understood. People at the time didn't know whether lightning was connected to, you know, this idea of the static shock. They were still getting to grips with this incredibly mysterious phenomenon. And tools had been recently invented, like electrostatic generators that were able to spin a little tiny thin amount of electricity. And they were able to use these for the first time to probe this long-standing mystery. So it's hard to get across like how exciting electricity was. Like it's kind of like ChatGPT today, you know. It was the same level of wonder and hype, and some people being super wrong, some people being super grifty, other people really pursuing, you know, the new frontiers of knowledge in a scientific way.
But they were about 80 years before Tesla, weren't they?
Tesla. Now, Tesla was doing his thing about 100 years later, I think. So that, because these people were fighting. This fight was in the 1790s. So these things hadn't been crystallized yet into formal scientific principles. That's what Faraday ended up doing for electricity. But nobody did the same thing for bioelectricity as a result, basically, of this fight, because it had these long consequences. Volta, due to a very sort of, very multivariate combination of political issues to do with Napoleon and other factors, and the fact that he invented the precursor to the battery, because of all that, Volta won this fight. And it was a really unfortunate result, because everybody assumed that if Volta was right, that electricity was a completely different medium, that meant that Galvani was wrong. It took like more than 100 years for other researchers to restore Galvani's reputation. But yeah,
they were probably both right at the time, weren't they?
They were. They totally were, except Volta had created a thing that you could use, the battery, which then, you know, the pioneers of electricity took that and ran with it. And, you know, they created the telegraph. They created, you know, power lines. They created, you know, by the end of, the, you know, by 100 years later, using the battery for science had added 50 new elements to the periodic table. But no similar insights came out of Galvani's theories, because it was all just a bit too early days. And what's really sad is that after he died, there was no sort of brilliant champion of bioelectricity. The closest thing they had was Galvani's nephew, Giovanni Aldini, who is actually the scientist that inspired Mary Shelley to write Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With the electrical pulses that they got to make the body come back to life, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he was trying to, you know, keep Galvani's reputation, you know, he was trying to defend it against this tide that said, well, bioelectricity is over and it's done. Galvani's dead. That was a dumb idea. So Aldini, who had published with Galvani a lot, he really sort of, he had seen Galvani develop this incredible theory of bioelectricity. So he was like, look, I need to keep this relevant, right? So then he decided that he was going to take the experiments Galvani had done, which were all in frogs, and move them up the ladder to humans. And so he started actually electrocuting executed prisoners to figure out, like, you know, what the principles of reanimation were. He wasn't actually trying to do a full Frankenstein, Frankenstein's monster, trying to get somebody back to life when they've been dead for 2 weeks. But he was really interested in whether you could take somebody who had been recently, I don't know, drowned or electrocuted and bring them back to life. Now, of course, we know, yes, you can, you know, if you don't let too much time go by.
Right, if you get to them soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't know any of that stuff either. So, Aldini, unfortunately, he wasn't quite the scientist that his uncle had been. So he relied on spectacle instead of solid science. So he was doing these wild demonstrations in front of royalty and other sort of titillated, you know, sort of members of high society. And people would love, you know, people used to go in there and sort of, you know, see these quivering prisoners, dead prisoners, you know, rising up because of, you know, an electrode into the rectum and into the ear. And then, you know, they would, there's one instance where one of them lifted up their arm and pointed. It seemed like they pointed at someone and like everybody fainted.
So
it's very, it was a wild thing that Aldini was trying to do. He was really trying to keep it in the forefront of people's minds by any means necessary. And he had this galvanic society that he started where people were like, we can make batteries out of, you know, biological material. And so they took layers of brain, muscle, and hat material, and they got an electric current out of it. So all this, like, body horror, like, crazy human centipede stuff was, like, it really made sure that bioelectricity was associated with quackery for about 40 years. There was no good research because people saw this stuff and they just wanted to distance themselves as much as possible.
Why did they seem to be all Italians? Why were they so far ahead of everybody?
Well, so this is something I get into a bit more in the book, but at the time, I think there was something about the Italian university system that really, you know, helped.
It pumped out some geniuses.
Forward, like the tools. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a question that I'm not necessarily able to answer because, you know, then we have Faraday in, you know, the UK in the 1800s. But it's true. Like, the early electricity stuff is just suffused with Italians.
That
but of course,
amazing.
You know, you can't discount people like Ben Franklin in the US who, you know, with his lightning experiment. And, you know, I think it's just, I think it was definitely something to do with the universities because they had the tools that you needed. You know, they really made sure that their researchers had these next generation tools, which are so important to advancing our understanding of these subtle electrical forces.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.